Okay, so I'm Katie Berger interviewing Hannah for my 534 project. And Hannah moved here from Vietnam. And she's gonna share about her story today.
Cool. Hey.
Okay, yeah, so you just wanna like maybe talk about moving to America, or if you remember that time at all, or...
Yeah, so I moved here when I was 4 and a half, like almost 5, and moved here with my mom, because my dad was already here with his family, and so once he became a citizen here, he then came back and did all the paperwork to sponsor my mom and I to come over. And I automatically became a citizen because I was under 18 and my dad was a citizen, but then my mom became one, like became naturalized after 5 years of being in the country. So I guess what I remember leaving Vietnam, like that's one of my earliest memories is leaving Vietnam, is just hanging on for dear life, like hanging on to my mom's purse while she was walking through the airport, because I had never flown or I had never, you know, been any, you know, anywhere like that. Mm-hmm. We stopped on a layover in Hong Kong, and my mom like didn't speak English and she didn't speak, you know, so she's mm-hmm. just experiencing this new thing too with her child, so it was kind of this new experience for both of us. And yeah, I guess coming here, I started kindergarten, I came here in May. Actually, it just passed the 19th, like, anniversary of, like, when I came to America, like, a few days ago. So, yeah, so I started kindergarten that August, so there was a few months between. So I started kindergarten not knowing any English, so I was put in ESL classes, English for, as a second language, classes, and I remember I hated it because, like, people would come in and point out that I'm going to ESL and stuff like that, but, so yeah, those are kind of my early memories of moving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so then you just, like, went right into kindergarten.
Yep, and just went into school, and, ESL really, like, helped me learn English faster, which was nice because I was put in an environment with other kids who like didn't really speak English at all, but my parents at home, they didn't let me speak English because they knew that like I would learn in school, and so they mm-hmm. didn't want me to lose the language, which thank God like they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So at about second grade, teachers kicked me out of ESL because they were like, you're done, like you talk too much and you learn too fast, so you don't need it anymore. I was like, okay, cool. So I wasn't in ESL anymore after that. But my parents, like, they kind of made me read Vietnamese, like, newspapers that they got, because there's one in the Twin Cities that's called Little Saigon.
Okay.
It's a Vietnamese, like, periodical.
Okay.
It's just so weird because it's just this one newspaper in Vietnamese, and so I would read that, and I learned to read and write in Vietnamese. It's like, whenever I say that, people are like, oh my gosh, you taught yourself how to read and write, but it's really easy because Vietnamese is a phonetic language, so English has a lot of rules with exceptions and stuff like that, but Vietnamese, like, all the rules, there are no exceptions, and the word tells you exactly, like, how to pronounce things with the symbols, so it's pretty easy once you know the sounds, so, yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then, I guess I'm just kind of curious, like, during your school years, if, like, once you were done with, like, being out of, like, the ESL, because, mm-hmm. like, you said they kind of pointed out to you mm-hmm. that you were different then, if it carried on at all during school, or...
Yeah, absolutely. I guess with language, even though I was done with ESL, I wasn't actually, like, confident with being able to speak English in fast situations until I was probably like 15 or 16.
Okay.
Because there would be some phrases that like people would expect me to know, or some, like, for instance, at lunch, like in elementary school, they would, you know, try to tell them what lunch I want. Like, I got to pick mm-hmm. which ones I want, and there'd be like French toast or like sausages, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what either of these are, because at home I eat Vietnamese food, mm-hmm. so like I don't know what I'm choosing. So these mean nothing to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also like the lunch food really confused me, because like French toast was a dessert, is so sweet. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
So a lot of like the language in that way, like not having, people assumed that I would just understand mm-hmm. certain things since I was out of ESL. And like, so I don't know, I felt really different because I didn't feel like people understood me, because mm-hmm. I was still young and I didn't really know all that there was to know in Vietnamese, mm-hmm. but then I also didn't really know much in English, so I'm still learning English and I'm still learning Vietnamese, so
mm-hmm.
I just felt like I didn't have much to say because I didn't know what to say, yeah. you know, in either language.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a really quiet kid because mm-hmm. of that up until like 8th grade or so. And I was in this program for Asian students, basically, for leadership, and that's how I really gained my confidence in speaking. But, yeah.
That's cool that they had that leadership.
Yeah. I got really lucky because my school was super diverse.
Okay.
It was probably, like, 30% white, 30% Asian, 30% black, and so it was very, like, multicultural.
Okay.
So I feel really blessed because of that. Because I don't know what would have happened if I went to a school that was like almost all white and mm-hmm. you know, didn't have the resources or understanding that like I may be good at school, but there are some things that I have to learn differently
mm-hmm.
Because of the language barrier mm-hmm. or that there was a language barrier. So
yeah. Do you feel like when you like got older in like high school and college that you were able to like have that same sort of experience with like diversity and stuff, or
I actually got I was shocked when I went to college because I went to Madison
mm-hmm.
and it's I believe 82% white or 87% something like okay. that, so a lot compared to mm-hmm. what I was used to. And I just remember like walking down the street one day and I was looking at my arm and I'm like, wow, I'm really yellow. Like I had never noticed my ethnicity as much before.
Okay.
Because I had people that looked like me in high school. I had teachers mm-hmm. that looked like me in mm-hmm. high school. And all of a sudden I didn't, like, in the dorms, like, I would be getting, you know, like, racist comments written. You know how everybody has a whiteboard mm-hmm. on their doors? Mm-hmm. Like, people would write, like, Asian stereotypes, like, oh, on wow. my door. Or, like, they would bring, like, things that are just like random, like, oh, Mulan, Hannah will like that because she's Asian, or mm-hmm. you know, just yeah. like random things because people think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, okay, cool, like, I don't do that to you guys, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
why is that necessary? Yeah. So, I was made to feel pretty different, especially in the dorms.
Okay,
yeah, and like, I guess, like, I was friends with, I had a lot of white friends like growing up, and I just kind of got used to like jokes being made about my race, because I was always like, oh, well, if I'm not okay with it, then I'm not gonna have friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So I just had to become, just laugh it off. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, oh, ha ha ha. Like, yeah, you just joked about my family's accent or whatever, mm-hmm. but like, you're cool, and I have to be friends with you, so, because mm-hmm. I didn't have the confidence to,
yeah.
you know, it's in high school, like, not many mm-hmm. people have the confidence to,
yeah,
say, like, hey, you're being an ass.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you remember kind of, like, when you did get to that confidence, or?
Yeah, it was, well, still now, I'm not where I feel like I should be, because mm-hmm. now, I mean, like, clients have said racist things, or, you know, I've worked with coworkers in the office at Winona State that
mm-hmm.
have said really racist things, and, like, in these moments, it's all of me, because who I am and who I think I am, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to speak up, like, I'm really passionate about all of this, you know,
mm-hmm.
but then in the moment, it's really hard for me to do that,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, I don't know how this person's gonna react. I don't know if I'm gonna be the one that's portrayed as like angry or lashing out,
mm-hmm.
If I do speak up, because that's happened before too. So now I don't even know if I can say that I have that confidence now.
Yeah.
I've gained some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that I'm like where at the point where I'm like speaking up every time someone does that, because part of me is like, I don't want to come off as that angry, bitter person that's always
mm-hmm.
talking about their race and, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that's why I don't do that. But then I get really frustrated, like, oh, I should have done that.
Yeah, I know earlier you kind of said when you were younger, people made a lot of assumptions about you.
Mm-hmm.
And do you still feel like people assume a lot about you just by looking at you?
Yeah, especially since moving to a small town
mm-hmm.
and not, like, people in Winona aren't exposed to, I feel like, that many people of different races or,
mm-hmm.
so, a lot of the time people assume, like, when I was in a thrift store with my client a few months ago, the lady, like, checked us out and she was like, oh, have a good time in America. Like, there's just this constant assumption mm-hmm. that I'm not from here, that I'm never going to be an American enough, or, like, sometimes people assume that I don't speak the language, and they speak, like, slower and more loudly towards me, and I'm like, you really don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So that is kind of frustrating, because I'm like, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what I did to make you think that.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like people just assume, like, you're, like, or do people ever think, like, you're Korean or Chinese?
Oh, yeah, just happened yesterday. It happens all the time. So people are like, oh, are you Hmong? Or, like, are you a specific, like, insert, you know,
mm-hmm.
one, like, ethnicity that they might know about.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Like, I'll, of course, answer and be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, I get a lot of, oh, I know this one Asian person from blank. Do you know them? You know, like, so just assuming that I just magically know everyone that's Asian that they know.
Yeah,
It's, a lot of the time, like, these kind of microaggressions are coming from people who are meaning really well,
mm-hmm.
and they're meaning to be nice and to make me, to talk to me, you know, like, mm-hmm. they're making conversation. But the frustrating part of it is that, like, why does my race have to be, like, at the forefront of any conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can just ask me how I am. Like, how do you talk to other white people?
Yeah.
You can just talk to me like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the most frustrating part of the assumptions that people make, is that somehow because I'm Asian or I'm different, that, like, they have to talk to me in a different way,
mm-hmm.
but they don't. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I joke about it with my friends. Like, I had a coworker who was super, like, rude, but he was super rude to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I appreciate that. Like, you're talking to me, you know, like, just,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at me individually and not, not just being, I think a lot of it comes from being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing, like, what to say, so then you resort to saying something not okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the assumptions that you're asking about, like, that people make now are that I'm a specific ethnicity and that I must know everything there is to know about this ethnicity. Like, the other day, I had this old family friend of Kyle's, my mm-hmm. fiance's, ask me, like, hey, do you know what time it is in Korea? I'm like, what? No, why would I know that? Do you know what time it is in Germany? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even Korean.
Yeah.
So it's just these assumptions of, mm-hmm. like, because they notice something different about me, that one thing that is different about me is everything
mm-hmm.
about me.
So yeah.
That's the kind of the biggest, yeah, assumption.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. One thing I was just like, kind of like just personally interested mm-hmm. because I saw a meme
mm-hmm.
Online about people were annoyed because of in like the new Deadpool 2 movie
mm-hmm.
there's an Asian woman and she has like a purple hair streak
mm-hmm.
and they were saying like, why does every Asian female character have to have like purple hair or like yeah. something else to make her more interesting, like she yeah. can never just be herself. And I was just like, oh, like I just had never had to think about that before
yeah.
because I'm white and like mm-hmm. when I watch the movies I don't have to think about that. So I was just like curious if that was or just any like
yeah.
Asian female portrayals in movie, not just purple hair necessarily
yeah.
but or like anything in the media or how mm-hmm. like
yeah,
that is
so,
seen, if like you ever have to deal with that kind of stuff. Or...
I talk about this a lot because I remember the first time I saw an Asian character in
mm-hmm.
a movie is Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
I freaking love that movie because I just was like, oh my gosh, I'm like five. I'm like, she looks like me.
Yeah,
she looks like me. and I always wanted to be her because I mean, all these other girls, like, growing up, I wanted to be white. I wish
mm-hmm.
that I was white, because it was, like, all these pretty girls, like, they're all white, like, that's what they share, and they're so cool, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, people who have money, like, they're all white, too, you know, like, there's gotta be something good about that.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't until I was older that I realized how problematic that actually was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so, remember, just the fact that I remember the first, like, Asian character that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Is something that I don't think white people like experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like remembering the first white
yeah.
character that
yeah.
they see. Or like I don't know if you've seen Ali Wong on Netflix. She's an Asian American comedian, and I love her so much because she talks about like things that I can relate to and other people can relate to too. But like there's just like small nuanced like
mm-hmm.
jokes that she does, and I love that. So I really like, it wasn't until recently that there's been more Asian characters just allowed to be normal people
mm-hmm.
because otherwise I would always see in movies or TV shows the Asian girl was hypersexualized
mm-hmm.
or they were like nerdy, and those are the two
mm-hmm.
that roles that they can fill, not really anything else. So I was like, oh, I either have to be super sexy all the time or, like, super smart. There's no, like, in between. Like,
mm-hmm.
there was no weird, you know, like, the awkward, you know, weird Asian girl.
Yeah.
That wasn't really too smart, but, like, just, like, awkward and funny. Like,
mm-hmm.
I never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I felt like I was. So
mm-hmm.
it was... that's why I connected, like, wanted to be white, because I saw all this, like, these white people were going on adventures and, you know, stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. So, yeah, it was a huge thing, and especially now I really gravitate towards media that, like, has someone that looks like me, because, I don't know, I like supporting
yeah.
that, and it's cool to, like, see that. Like, I just started watching Fresh Off the Boat. And that's a sitcom, like, it's
mm-hmm.
just it's one of those, like, comedies about a family, and
mm-hmm.
it's about an Asian family that came here to America, and I just, like, find myself dying at some of the jokes, and, like, other friends, you know, who maybe didn't experience,
mm-hmm.
like, certain things are just like, oh, okay, like, that's something that you can laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is really funny, you guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's cool to see more representation, but yeah, it is a problem for little girls to not see, you know,
mm-hmm.
that, because then they don't know that being themselves is, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's been, like, some characters that are, like, coming out, like, with, like, the latest Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
There was Rose, and
mm-hmm.
people were really excited
yeah,
about her.
I was in theaters, and I was like, God, look
at
yeah.
Yeah.
No, she is adorable. I love that. Yeah. And
yeah.
I notice too. Like, mm-hmm. it's very noticed when it does happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I know people are, like, really excited about that one. Mm-hmm. And then, but yeah, I just happened to see this meme about why is there always, like, have to be purple hair or, yeah. like, this sort of thing too. Yeah. And
yeah,
I was like, just something I had never had to really mm-hmm. think about too much. So I was mm-hmm. just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for asking that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I agree, like, the representation is mm-hmm. super important. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, because there's also, like, the female aspect, too.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
all that, so.
Yeah. And, like, for Asian men, it's, they're never portrayed as, like, desirable, or they're always just nerdy and things. Mm-hmm. So I love when, you know, shows are actually portraying, like, Asian men as, oh, hey, like, they're actual people who can be other, mm-hmm. you know, something else. 13 Reasons Why has an Asian, like, character mm-hmm. that's just, like, one of the cool kids. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, I always notice it, too, and I really appreciate it. So, I'm hoping to just see that continue, and I think it will.
Yeah.
So I think, like, the industry is finally starting to realize that people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, like, seeing people of color in different roles helps just the perception that, like, hey, people of color are just normal
mm-hmm.
people. They can be these different roles. They're not just these stereotypes. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or always just, like, the best friend or sidekick
yeah,
or
exactly.
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so I know you said, like, yeah, like, your small town, Winona, has been all different mm-hmm. versus, like, living in Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like it's based on environment, but also just kind of like a constant thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah, I've, people talk a lot about, like, being in the Twin Cities, and there's certain parts where it's dangerous, or, you know, don't go mm-hmm. there at night. But to be honest, I've never felt more unsafe than here. Literally 2 days ago, I was driving down the street to, I don't know, by my house, like, to go somewhere, and on the back of this guy's motorcycle, he had like a stand, and then at the top of the stand it was a Nazi symbol, and I was like this is terrifying. This is absolutely, because it's not a brand for anything. No mm-hmm. brand is gonna do that.
Yeah.
So it was just, he was just displaying really proudly, like, this symbol of, like, hatred for a lot of people. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So that's terrifying. And then just, like, being at work, yeah, just having, like, people treat me differently, because they're uncomfortable around me, and the fact that I have to question whether that's about my race
mm-hmm.
or not, it, like, I'm constantly questioning that, so it gets kind of frustrating. But yeah, it's been difficult. Or, like, being, you know, at a bar at Gabby's, like, I had a girl spill her drink on me and then say, like, a racist slur, and then, like, walk away without saying, like, I deserved it because I was some, like, chinky, like,
wow.
Yeah, wow. Like, this stuff happens, like, right here. So, or, like, people saying little things that are even maybe nice, too,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, wow, you're so cute. What are you, like, Hawaiian? I'm like, no, like,
yeah.
It's not, you know, what am I? Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Winona has this strange energy of, I guess, like, ignorance or, mm-hmm. like, lack of, I don't know, exposure, I guess. But, yeah, I really do feel more unsafe here than I do in, like, North Minneapolis. Like,
yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Getting to know. I'm glad I moved here, though, because I'm just getting to know, like, what it's like in a small town, and getting to know how I can overcome these microaggressions in a way that is beneficial for myself and
mm-hmm.
maybe for others too. So I'm learning a lot. But
yeah, it's good that you can, like, spin it.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah, you kinda
take it
to.
On as, like, a
yeah.
positive challenge
yeah.
for yourself.
Yeah, I was kind of miserable, like, the first 3 months.
Aww.
I'd come home and just be like, I'm just so exhausted, you know, just trying to prove myself every day, because everywhere I go in town, I feel like I'm representing every single Asian person that everyone is ever going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I have to be, you know, the best me I can be at all times. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like I can just mess up, or I don't feel like I can be a bad student or be a bad, you know, coworker or anything. So
yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
I can imagine. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what I've learned about the difference in a smaller town versus like a bigger city.
Okay.
So
yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you have any like final things to share, or
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm really glad you asked me to be this person.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from talking with you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Sweet.
Pretty sure you are finished. Yeah.